And I'm really glad that I put deodorant on this morning. And I almost forgot, and then the Holy Spirit reminded me. I knew I was going to need it. First of all, let's have some announcements. Thank you to everybody who helped with the yard sale. It was amazing. I think we should clap for all of you. The total amount before expenses that we brought in was $3,700, which is pretty good. We are going to have a meeting next week after the service to just talk about getting a mortgage so that we can replace our roof. And Wayne and John have been kind of looking into that, and we found an excellent place to get a mortgage. And so we're going to give you all the information and let you guys vote on that. There also is the next men's breakfast, which is the last Saturday of the month. We have somebody from our midst who's going to be our speaker, Brian Hiller. So then you want to come out and hear what he has to say. I've heard him give his testimony, and it's amazing. All right. Let us, so I am going to be reading Pastor Dave's sermon, which I have just read quickly and is excellent. We're talking today about the fourth point here on our Know God, Find Freedom, Discover Purpose, Make a Difference is what we're talking about today. Today we will come to the last point of our mission statement. To our fourth point, to our goal as a church, to be believers who make a difference. I hope that indeed is your personal goal, and I hope that you aspire to be part of a church that collectively makes a difference. Last week, we saw how God is revealed to be a purposeful God. He has purposes for his creation, and he has purposes for each one of us. It follows that if we appreciate the difference he has made in our lives, transforming our status from that of a criminal condemned to die because of our sin to the unequal status as a child of the King with all the rights and privileges that come with it, we would want to be a follower of Jesus who is determined to make a difference for him. This goal was encapsulated into our document that describes each of the mission statement points there are on the wall. Here is a key part of that statement. We at Chesa Community Church believe that good works cannot solve our sin problem or restore our relationship with our holy God. Only the acknowledgement of our sin, our request for forgiveness, and our belief that Jesus fully paid our penalty can accomplish that. But we are encouraged to do good works because of our love for our fellow man and in appreciation for what the Lord has done for us. Our world needs to see the love of Jesus displayed in tangible ways. One of the many scriptures that encourage good works and making a difference is found in Jude, verse 20 through 23, reading from the King James Version. But you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. And if others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spoiled by the flesh. So we see here in these two short verses true critical missions for you and I as a believer. First, seeing the lost saved, bringing the message of the cross and God's love for them to their ears so that they might seek and find forgiveness and therefore have a relationship with the eternal God who loves them. But secondly, our focus for today, that is the exercising of a heart of compassion, tangibly making a difference. You know, I think we are all concerned with rising gas and food prices, and we tend to see this as a negative. But maybe we should choose to look at it differently. Maybe we should be thinking that this inflationary pressure may just result in more opportunities to exercise compassion and make a difference. Former President Jimmy Carter of the US and a believer said this, "I have one life and one chance to make it count for something. My faith demands that I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever I can, for as long as I can, with whatever I have to try to make a difference." What a great perspective to have on your life's calling as a believer. And God seems to be blessing him for it as he enjoys this 97th year on the planet. And he, along with his wife, now hold the record for the longest married presidential couple in history, that being 76 years. By stark comparison, think for a moment about those who have no such lofty goal or no desire to allow compassion to rule their heart and be determined to make a difference. Do you remember the Old Testament name Methuselah? Do you remember what he was famous for? Anybody?
The oldest man on earth.
He was. He was the oldest man to ever live. 969 years. But sadly, the only thing the Bible says about him was how long he lived on this earth. And then died. Now, he may have accomplished much that was never recorded. He may have been very compassionate and acted according. But how sad it would be for someone to live a long life with no record of compassion, no record of ever making a difference. Think about the eventual graduation to glory and that first face-to-face meeting with the Savior, who demonstrated ultimate compassion, who spent his entire life and death on earth making a difference and called us to do the same. What if we were to appear before him and have little to offer more than the dates on our tombstone? Born 1960, died 2022, or whatever that might be. It's easy to understand why some folks are not looking forward to meeting the Lord. Why? Because God left them here on earth for so many years, and they have lived each year he gave them for themselves. So let us resolve as believers at Chesley Community Church, who subscribe to these words, make a difference, written on our mission statement, to put them into action. Compassionate action. Compassionate action corporately as a church, and compassionate action individually as believers. What are some of the important points to consider when we begin to think about the challenge of making a difference? First, remember, you are called and chosen. One of the first key points in this series is that we have been chosen and adopted as children of the King. He has plans for you, and he will equip you to make a difference and ensure his purposes for you are accomplished. Remember the text from Psalm 57, verse 2. It says, "I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me." One of the ways he delivers the help you need to make a difference is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that is instrumental in changing our hearts into more compassionate hearts. And a compassionate heart is a prerequisite to making a difference. If you don't have a heart that wants to make a difference, it won't happen. Let's take another look at our text from Jude. "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some compassion making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spoiled by the flesh." Notice how the prerequisite to compassion and making a difference is praying in the Holy Spirit. Why is that so important? First, it is important because as we practice praying in the Spirit, with an openness to change, he will indeed transform our heart into a more compassionate one. And secondly, once we have developed a compassionate heart, we will still need direction as to the precise areas where God is calling to us, expecting us to be the ones who make the difference there. Now, often when we pray, we run through our list of needs. We do all the talking. It is imperative that we spend some time allowing the Spirit to connect with our minds and allow His direction to be given to us. Note carefully these words from Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us as believers in harmony with God's own will. So as we spend time praying in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to communicate God's will to our minds, we will receive direction to areas and activities where we can make a difference. Now, what are some of the ways to make a difference that the Holy Spirit reveals to people who sincerely ask His advice? What are the possible areas the Holy Spirit would speak to me or you about? The first area is that of serving. As we saw last week, Jesus demonstrated the ultimate in servitude, coming from the throne rooms of glory to serve His followers, stooping not just physically, but also setting aside His kingly status to wash His disciples' dirty feet. Regarded as the lowest of the lowly tasks in that culture, and He explicitly calls those who follow Him to serve as He did. The church really came into being at Pentecost, and shortly thereafter, people who had accepted Christ were called to serve. To wait on tables is not exactly the most prestigious job in their culture, but they actually prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to show them who would be doing these jobs, because it was so important to them. And the church today, whether it be big or small, cannot survive without people honoring their Lord's call to servitude. And the important thing to remember is that the better the church is served, the better the church has served, the better it is equipped to serve others, to serve as we should be serving in our community. Pastor Dave is thankful for the many who serve here on a regular basis, using the wide variety of skills and enthusiasm God has given them to make this church a stronger and better place. This weekend with our yard sale is a perfect example. Many of these folks' activities may be defined as low-key, but what they do is key, nevertheless, in making a difference. The next aspect I would like you to consider that has enormous potential to make a difference is that of hospitality. The man called Gaius is probably not in your list of most popular New Testament characters, but I would submit to you that Gaius was a believer who made a difference. Does anybody know what he was known for? Louder. Okay. In Romans 16, verse 23, we read this: Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Imagine, his hospitality impacted not only Paul, but the entire church. That's making a difference. Interestingly, that he was insisting that Paul would send along his greetings to the church at Rome. Perhaps he had taken occasion to even extend his hospitality to those in Rome. In Romans 10, 12 to 13, we read where we are called to love each other earnestly and practice hospitality. You will note that this is a passage directed specifically to fellow believers. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, we see the call to love repeatedly, but now the author calls on us to extend hospitality to strangers and those in prison. Keep loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without even realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. The COVID season has greatly reduced our freedom to visit and practice hospitality, but we are gradually emerging from that season now. Are you looking for ways to make a difference? Pray about using hospitality to make that difference. Now, there are some other activities that are closely related to hospitality that also have a huge potential to make a difference. In a Food for Thought a week ago or so, I have mentioned how the practice of visiting relatives and friends was a common practice only a few years ago. There are many lonely people in the world, people who have lost loved ones, people who are not feeling well, people going through tough times. Your visit has the potential to make a huge difference. And don't forget card ministries and telephone calls. They can make a difference too. The next area where every believer is called to make a difference is helping the poor. We don't have time to list all the scriptures throughout the Old and New Testament where God calls us to help the poor. There are many. No serious believer or student of the word can miss this call to help the poor. But here is one that is also a promise. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Perhaps you have thought many times, how can I make a difference? One of the ways you can make a difference is helping the poor. You can't solve world poverty, but you can help at least one. Just a couple of ways you can make a difference. So far this morning, we have focused on the call on us as believers to make a difference individually. But what about us as a church? I believe that our mission statement is a good one. The fourth point is a good one. We need to be determined as a church to make a difference in our community. We have some good things already going. We welcome the Salvation Army to use our facilities as they make a difference in the lives of many. We also worked with some organization this weekend because of the fire downtown Hanover. We donated many bags of clothes to the people that had lost everything. We welcome other groups to use this facility for their meetings and sports events. It is a welcome that is consistent with our call to hospitality. We operate the thrift stop, where thousands of items are recycled each year into the hands of people who need them. It was actually 500 bags we did yesterday alone. We provide a lunch on Mondays for some who really don't know where else that meal might come from. This year we have opened part of our property to be used as community garden plots. Hopefully, that will bless some folks with fresh produce, but also give opportunity to share what the Lord has done for us and what he will continue to do. So we have a lot going on. It is a serious call, this fourth point in our mission statement. But are we doing enough? Are we making a difference? If we were all raptured to glory this afternoon, would many in our community miss us? It's a challenging question. Remember, the ability of this church to collectively meet the challenge the Lord will give us to make a difference is directly proportional to the degree that each individual member and adherent is committed to listening to and acting on the Holy Spirit is prompting in each of our individual ears. I'd just like to add as well personally that I believe this church is one of the best I have ever attended about making a difference and about being authentic people who have compassion and who are sharing God's love. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to minister here. It's an honor and a privilege because that's been the beat of my heart and it's the beat of Jesus' heart too. So keep doing awesome things for Jesus.